act? How about being a revolutionary? And let's decide to tell the truth, to believe the truth, and to live the truth. And the truth will make you free. Thanks for joining us. Again, get a copy of Seduction of the Saints. You get to $18 or more to Save America Ministries. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website, saveus.org. And can I urge you, again, seriously consider what God would have you give to enable us to get this message out, to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Be a liver of the truth.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They have to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And we're going to be talking about the current worldwide economic crisis. Ladies and gentlemen, the world is on the basis of an abyss. Basically, gold was up to the highest I've ever seen it today at $1,604 an ounce. And Bob said that it closed a couple of dollars higher after hours. Silver was up $1.20, $1.40 today. That was up after hours. Something big is afoot. I think we're seeing the crumbling of the whole world monetary system. Now, whether we're going to see the default of Greece and Italy and Spain and Portugal and Ireland here in the next few years, or next few months, or next few weeks, we don't know. But something big is afoot, and of course, if that were to happen, they were to default, then of course, this would have a profound impact on some of our major banks, because they have written something called derivatives. Those are like insurance policies, and they are guaranteeing the fact that Greece and the other countries will not default. If they do, then of course they have to certainly come up with the money to pay off the bets. The derivative is a great way to make a lot of money for a bank, because you're like writing an insurance policy, but you don't know when you need any reserves. But, of course, when things turned against you, you have no place to go. And then you have to start pulling money out. And because our major banks are so leveraged, you see, ordinarily, I mean, you borrow money from somebody. You borrow a certain amount of money from them. But what the banks do, basically, they may have $1 in deposit, and they lend $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 based upon that $1 they have in the bank. And then suddenly you lose even larger sums of money because, of course, your derivatives turn against you. And that could very well happen as far as Europe is concerned. Not only that, many of our hedge funds and many of our money market funds are invested in European banks that are also invested in so-called pig nations. And everything is in place for a major cataclysmic event. Well, we're going to see if we can get Bob on the line. I know he's talking to our producer. He's talking to Bob, but right now I want to get Bob to tell us his impression of what's going on, because I'm really very, very concerned that there's something big as afoot. You and I will be the last ones to know. But certainly we can watch and see what is happening as far as the stock market is concerned, but even more than that, the price of gold and silver. And when they start going up like this, it reflects this very real uncertainty. Here in the United States and throughout the world, and what we do know is that other countries, certainly the little guys pretty well out of the gold and silver market, at least as far as the commodity market and the option market, little guys are buying gold and silver, but probably not more than 1% of them. But what we do know is that countries like China and India and Russia and certainly the Arab countries, they're buying gold because they know this is something of intrinsic value. And they know, of course, that paper money, fiat money, is worth the paper it's written on. That's all. So with that as a background, Bob Chapman, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Well, you're welcome.
And certainly we're living in...
And I am speechless.
Well, right. I don't believe that for 1 minute. We're going to be right back here. If you have questions at all, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we're living in very dangerous times. I hope you're positioned. We'll be back shortly. Well, Bob, you go ahead and pick the story up.
I didn't hear it. What were you talking about? Because I came in late.
Well, basically, we were just simply talking about the fact that gold and silver were going through the roof. Gold had reached an all-time high. You told us in the afternoon program it was a couple of dollars in the aftermarket. Gold was up a couple of dollars an ounce, and the silver was up as well. So basically, when we see gold and silver running like this, it reflects that something very major is underway throughout the world, and that people with a great deal of money are certainly positioning themselves in gold and silver. Go right ahead.
Well, what happened a few months ago was that the people who are rigging the silver market, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corporation is who that is, and others. They drove the price of silver and gold down, and particularly silver. And the reason they were able to do that is they got all of this cooperation from the CFTC, which is a agency of the United States government. And the CFTC is the Commodity Futures Trading Corporation. And they, is my guess, got a hold of the COMEX, and which is owned by the CME, and they told them start raising margin requirements, which they did, from $5,000 to $22,000. And then...
Now, that was per contract. If you were buying silver on margin and it went from $5,000 to $22,000, which would wipe out most of the people who would be playing the commodity and options market.
Well, it was worse than that. Because then the largest commodity brokerage houses then doubled the margin requirement for silver to $42,000. Now, what that did is it wiped out all the small and medium-sized investors. And that's why you saw the precipitous fall from $50 to $32.50. Now, that has, there's a cause and effect to that. In wiping everybody out who is little or medium-sized, they eliminated...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Bob was simply talking about what happened a couple of months ago when, of course, the big bankers, working in conjunction with the Commodities Exchange Board, simply got the Commodity Exchange Board to raise the margin requirements on gold and silver contracts. And certainly with silver contracts, the cost of buying a contract, in other words, a margin contract on silver, went from $5,000 for a contract to $21,000 or $22,000 a contract, and then up to $42,000 a contract. In other words, people who were certainly playing this game and gambling in the commodity market simply got totally wiped out. And that was the whole idea, to drive the price down, to take advantage of the people. And this whole game is rigged. Remember, the way it's played is they win, we lose. And so if you try to get into the commodity market, why, of course, that's the old adage, it's a wonderful way to make a small fortune out of a large fortune, and you're going to lose because you're playing with people who change the rules halfway through the game, and you have no say one way or the other, and it's always determined that the big boys win, the little guys get fleeced. But Sydney, even though they've done that, and now most of the small people are out of the market, the small traders. But what's going on now, Bob?
Well, as an outgrowth of that, what they did effectively is wipe out all future overhead resistance. And that won't stop until they lower margins. And they got to get them back down to $5,000 or $10,000 a contract. And so they're not going to do that in any hurry. And so this is just going to feed on itself. And you're already seeing it. I mean, I come out with that proposal, that information, that projection, almost 3 months ago. And then I reiterated it a number of times. Well, at the same time, in silver, the big shorts, which are the same characters I mentioned.
That's Hong Kong Singapore Banking Corporation, HSBC, J.P. Morgan. Go ahead.
And so in April, they had a naked short position. And when you're short, you bet the metal in this case is going down. And
but well, you're supposed, to have silver on hand or be able to get that silver in case the market turns against you so you can provide the silver. You're basically selling silver you don't have. That's what I mean is selling short. But they're doing this naked. They don't have any silver, and they know very well, of course, that it's going to go down, and hopefully most people won't want to take delivery. If they do take delivery, there's no silver for them. Go ahead.
And that's correct. And so that is why we're seeing what we're seeing. Also, it's highly unusual to see two metals like gold and silver test as many times as they have over the past, say, 2.5 months. And you're looking at the formation of support levels in both gold and silver, particularly silver. And usually when you test, if it tests 2 or 3 times, that's sufficient. It means it's going to hold. If you do it 4 times, really it's going to hold. Well, we just saw it happen 8 times. Now what that does is cause a very, very broad base. And that broad base, when the time comes, means that silver and gold, and particularly silver, will double, maybe go 150% in, say, by the end of February. That's what's happened before. And so this is another chance of a lifetime to buy. You don't get many chances like this. And, of course, the surprise, the subscribers are in there heavily. They're still buying, and they're going to continue to do that. And the public's going to finally start to come into the market. Of Americans, only 0.8% own gold and silver coins, bullion, or shares. And incidentally, I got a report out of Europe today in many different major cities. And there was tremendous demand for gold and silver, bullion and coins. And I got that report out of Zurich. And people are starting to catch on. One of the things, too, Stan, is that these programs are going all over the world. And people are catching on. As I told you earlier, somebody who I know quite well, who's a subscriber, was talking to another radio host. And they said that they never miss my programs. This is a group of members of the European Parliament from the Netherlands. And so what we're doing is getting to people. And we've got all the right answers. We tell the truth. And we have to go to alternative means. We can't have the ability to do things that Fox has. I'm sure you're all aware of what's going on.
But at least, and, you know, at least we have the internet, and this is a wonderful means of getting information out all over the world. And certainly, it's far less expensive than shortwave or radio or satellite. So, what a wonderful opportunity we have in the first time in history. Said it is a lot of information up on the internet that isn't right, but if you know who you can depend upon, why, of course, you can get the truth for the first time. So I'm guardedly optimistic.
Well, I certainly am. More than I've been in 52 and a half years.
Right. Well, we've been at a long time, Bob.
Yeah, and we're going to win. But it took people like you and I to hang in there. And a number of people who have died, like Gary Allen and Alan Stang. And,
yeah, good friends.
Yeah, and, you know, the guys that were with us there at the beginning. And but it's going to happen, and we just got to work hard at it. And it's very important that the public gets involved, because we need you very badly. Because there's no sense in training you and teaching you, and then you don't do anything with it. I mean, we're dealing with very evil people who want to destroy the world the way we know it. I mean, not bring it all asunder, but at least control everybody. And that's where they're up to. And so,
well, I think it's
I'm very happy about that.
I think it's important that people understand these really are evil people. They really are in the process of actually destroying the health and wealth of most of the people in the world. They really would like to remove at least 4/5 of the people in the world, perhaps even more than that. Some people talk about 95% of the world population has to be destroyed and decimated. And, ladies and gentlemen, there is an organized effort to bring illness, to suppress treatments for cancer, and to certainly increase the incidence of heart disease, to get people taking all sorts of medicines that do absolutely no good, that do far more harm than good. And because they control the media and because they control the medical profession and they're able to convince doctors of things that just aren't true with phony studies, they're harming the health of people all throughout the world. But I think both Bob and I are very, very concerned that they're now moving us towards a great war in the Middle East. And how it's going to line up, I don't know. But it's obvious that everything going on over there is contrived. So people are going to have to position themselves and then help us get the word out, get people to understand that they better check out and see what's going on, because most people are going to end up being totally impoverished if they survive the period of coming turbulence and turmoil we're moving into. Well, Bob, certainly talking about what's happening financially, what do you think is going to happen as far as Greece is concerned, the so-called pig nations? Are they going into default, or are the European Central Bank, the European government over there, EU, going to be able to bail out these banks? Because if they don't bail them out, why, it's going to be the end of the European currency, perhaps the end of the European Union. And, of course, they want that because it's a building block of this whole effort to unite the world under the control of a ruling elite. Incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But what's going to be happening over in Europe as far as the so-called pig nations, specifically Greece.
Well, they're going to fail. They're already bankrupt. They've already defaulted. The game's over. And if the solvent European nations bail them out, they're going under too, and they know that now. I mean, I published it like a year and 4 months ago, and they're just catching up. The figures were, I projected $4 trillion to bail the six countries out, and they were talking in terms of $1 trillion. Well, I raised mine from $4 to $6 trillion about 5 weeks ago. Last week, they raised theirs to $3.5 trillion.
And because so, if they were to do that, to use their own money, why would bankrupt their banks and their monetary
right.
system? So there's really not enough money there. And, of course, if they simply create the money out of nothing, why, of course, it'll cause a rampant inflation, and that'll undermine the stability of the nation. So, Bob, what do you think the next step's going to be?
I think there'll be an arrangement where they'll have to concede default.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here, and we'll go to Bob. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, Bob, before we get back to that, let's go to Bob, who's calling us from Kennewick, Washington. He has a question for you. Hi, Bob. You have a question for Bob?
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Stan. Yeah, appreciate at the end of the afternoon program today, Bob was going to answer a man from Spokane regarding Bob's ideas on mineral mining stock. Could you repeat that for us, Bob, please? Just your suggestions?
Okay, fine, Bob.
Sure. First of all, you can get all of those by email. And all you have to do, and a free copy of the forecaster as well. And all you have to do is go to Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com. Bob at int, forecaster.com. And we'll send you the information, but I will give it verbally to you.
If you don't mind, because I don't do internet, Bob. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm an old geezer.
The first stock is Agnico Eagle. It's A-G-N-I-C-O Eagle.
A-G-N-I-C-O. I-C-O, okay.
Eagle, E-A-G-L-E. And the symbol's A-E-M. The second one is Goldcorp. G-O-L-D-C-O-R-P.
Okay.
And their symbol is GG.
GG, okay.
And then there's Mine Finders. M-I-N-E-F-I-N-D-E-R-S. Okay. And their symbol is M-F-N. Mike, Frank, Nancy.
Okay.
The third one, the fourth one, is Pretium, P-R-E-T-I-U-M, and the symbol in Canada is, I'm getting tired, PVG,
understandably.
Peter Victor George dot T-O, and it's an American symbol, too.
Dot T-O.
And if you're interested in speculative stocks, there's Helix Ventures, H-E-L-L-I-X. Ventures, the symbols, H-E-L dot V, or H-L-L-X-F. And the other one is called Abington Resources, A-B-I-N-G-T-O-N, Resources. And the symbol is ABL dot V.
Now, these are pretty speculative, aren't they, Bob?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
But
okay.
They're at a juncture here where they're starting to come out with big announcements. And I expect all the groundwork's been laid. Helix could be in production by the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
And Abington has the geologist on the property now. They should have an announcement in a couple of weeks.
Okay, well, thanks a million.
These are inexpensive stocks, but if they're suitable for you, that's fine. Stocks like this very often go from 50 cents to $20,
$30. Okay. Today we have Bob from Kentridge, Washington, just getting some advice on the mining stocks. And anything else you wanted to say, Bob, before we let Bob from Kentridge go?
No, just appreciate all the good work you two men do. Praise the Lord, and just keep up the good work.
God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And you can always email Bob and get a list of the stocks he recommends. Some of them are just stalwarts. I mean, they're the very foundation of mining. Some of them are speculative, and so you have to decide what is appropriate for you at your time of life. When you get my age, you don't like to speculate. When I was young, I used to love to speculate, and sometimes I got winners. And, well, I would hope that most of these are winners. But we'll just, time alone is going to tell. Anyway, our guest is Bob Chapman. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But I'll tell you right now, why, of course, anybody who stays in money-related assets that I'm talking about, as the annuities or bank accounts or CDs or pensions or suddenly insurance policies, anything denominated in the dollar, they're the one who's really speculating, because everything points to the fact that they're progressively eroding the value of our currency. They're doing this intentionally and purposely, and that's how they're going to make the debt disappear. They're just going to inflate it away. Would you agree or disagree with that, Bob? Bob, are you there?
I am.
Okay, go right ahead.
Well, I think we were talking about the price of silver and gold having
right.
come down and tested 8 times. And that's a very, very broad base. And historically, when that happens, I mean, usually have 2 or 3 or 4 times maybe, but not 8. And so I think by the end of February, there's a possibility that gold and silver could go up 100, maybe 150%. And so I think people who have been thinking of buying should do that.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Gary, who's calling us from Arkansas. Hi, Gary. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, I could ask a question to Bob, sir.
All right, fine.
Mr. Chapman, I noticed that silver's going up, too. It's not just gold, it's silver, because some of us don't really have the money to invest in gold. And my wife and I had bought silver in the past. Where do you think silver will go?
Well, I just said I think it could go up 100 to 150%, and that would put it at $70, $80, $90, somewhere in there. And I'm talking about in a reasonably short term. If you get a big short position out there in silver, it's as bad now as it was in April before they pulled their caper knocking it down. There's no resistance on the way up. So $50 is going to be tested very quickly. And, you know, we could easily be in that upper area by the end of February, maybe even by the end of the year.
Okay, Gary, does that answer your question? So Bob is very bullish on silver.
He's bullish on silver, and, yeah, I wish, well, I mean, I wish I did. Bought some more earlier. I just wasn't paying attention, and this is the time of the season to pay attention to what's going on for certain. And gold and silver, absolutely.
Amen to that, Sydney. Okay, anything else, Gary, before we let you go?
No, sir. You guys take care and keep doing what you're doing.
Okay, and so our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But the interesting thing is that we know that the Chinese are buying gold. We know the Russians are buying gold, even though they're large gold producers. We know the Indians are buying gold. And so the people, the average person over in Europe, has a much better understanding of the fiat money system than people here in the United States. And certainly Bob is saying that people are frantically buying gold and silver over in Europe. Would that be a fair statement, Bob?
It sure is. Someone told me in Zurich over the weekend that buying is coming from every major city in Europe, and that's surprising. But I think it's a result of what's going on over there, plus what we have to say on the radio as well.
Well, I know we do have listeners all over the world from at least our internet program. I know that this is duplicated by so many of the other people who are doing exactly what we're doing. People are waking up, becoming aware. They perhaps don't understand the true spiritual implications of what's going on, but they certainly understand the financial implications, and hopefully they'll keep listening and begin to understand what really energizes these wicked people who seem to be intent upon destroying humanity. We'll be back in a moment with Bob Chapman. Stan, I guess Bob Chapman, of course, we're talking about what's going on financially in the world. And said, what do you think of the political theater they're playing as the leaders of the Democrat Party and the Republican Party pretend to be trying to do something to solve the debt problem, and yet none of the things they suggest are really going to address the problem?
Well, I think you're right about that, and they'll have one of these miraculous 11th-hour solutions, but they still got to pay about $275 billion back to the federal pension plan and to the Social Security and Medicaid funds, which come in every day from people who have to pay in those programs. And on top of it, I think when all is said and done, they made fools out of themselves. I think other commentators are going to say the same thing that you and I have. And it was a big joke. It was calculated, like so many things that these people do, to get Americans not thinking about their financial in economic problems. And so they'll okay the thing. It will add to inflation. And at the same time, there's some very high-velocity money that is coming out of the banks, and that's going to lead to further inflation. And a couple of years down the line, we'll see hyperinflation, which is 50% or more. And unless something changes dramatically, that's where we're going.
And, of course, that's one way of getting rid of the debt. But nobody wants to let the American people realize that they are intentionally and maliciously going to destroy the value of our currency, and there's no better way to destroy any great nation than to destroy the value of its currency. We're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest this evening, Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Bob Chapman. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We were just simply saying that the leaders of both political parties, the Democrats and Republicans, are playing a game in Washington, D.C. Oh, they're trying to do something to solve the debt problem, and they don't come up with it so they can, raise the debt level. Ladies and gentlemen, they will probably raise the debt level. They're not going to default. So they own the debt, but what they're going to do is make the debt disappear by inflation. But they're not going to let you know that. They're going to lie to you about inflation. They're going to use the cruelest tax of all and simply destroy progressively the value of the currency, and by so doing impoverish the people, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. And poor people, simply struggling simply to have enough money to pay the rent, to pay the electricity, they want to lower our living standards, they want to bring austerity to our country. Read what they say in their articles in Foreign Affairs magazine, the articles written by Mortimer Zuckerman, member of the Trilateral Commission. These things are all up there. And if you want to know where you can get them, you can get in touch with us. But basically, this is what they're going to do. All the rest of this is political theater as they go back and forth, and they have meetings with the president, and the president walks out of the meetings, and it's all showmanship to give you the impression that we have two political parties. No, ladies and gentlemen, we have one political party with two branches, and they're all controlled by the same people. Well, Sydney, I guess Bob Chapman, and before we go on, Bob, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get a copy of your newsletter, why they should get a copy of your newsletter, and then, of course, our telephone number once again. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Bob.
The forecast is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays by email. It usually runs around 40 pages. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. Everything you need to know every week is in that publication. You get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com. theinternationalforecaster.com. You can also go to www.intforecaster.com. That's intforecaster.com. For those of you who would like to ask a question, we answer everybody. Or if you'd like to get a copy of either, or if you'd like to get a copy of our latest gold and silver share recommendations, we'll send them as well. And you go to our email address, which is Bob, B-O-B, at I-N-T-F-O-R-E. caster.com, bob@intforecaster.com. You can also call toll-free to 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Sydney, now what's happening over in China as far as the Chinese economy? You know, we're told that Sydney, China is the number two economy in the world. Sydney, the largest manufacturer, they're doing very well. And they're just churning out cars and all sorts of manufactured goods. But what is happening to their economy?
Who, Japan?
No, China.
Oh, China. Well, first of all, they have a real estate bubble. And they can't stop it. I mean, they've raised interest rates several times. They've raised the amount of bank deposits that the banks have to hold aside, which takes those funds out of the market, so to speak. And that's just the beginning. They have inflation of 15%, not 6.4%. That they talk about. And they also have 30 million people unemployed. They've been building whole cities, but nobody lives in them, which I think is rather hilarious. And the only, I think, really positive thing that they're doing is buying gold and silver, and they have been for some time.
Well, because it is my impression that China is in full military production for war when the war is coming. I don't know, but we're doing everything we can to build up the military potential of the Chinese communists, and it really doesn't make any sense. Not unless you look back through the years and remember that during the First World War, it was our banks that financed both the Germans and the Allies during the Second World War. Our banks and our corporations were building the war weapons for Adolf Hitler. During the Vietnam War, we were financing the Russians, we were financing the North Vietnamese, we were financing the Viet Cong that were killing our people there. And of course, we certainly built up Iraq in preparation for the first Gulf War. And, of course, it was American corporations like Halliburton were openly violating the embargoes on Iraq so that basically Iraq would be prepared for the second Gulf War. Nothing as it appears to be, and I think it's so vitally important that people understand that we're doing everything we can to build up communist China and send certainly the wherewithal American technology to China and for what I fear is going to be another great war. What are your thoughts on that, Bob?
Well, I sure agree with you. If you look at history, they've needed distractions, and every time they had to distract people from financial and economic problems, they've had a war. Well, they got a depression, they have a war. And later on, after the war or series of wars is over, say, well, all that terrible stuff in finance and economics happened because of reasons beyond our control. These wars, they did it. And those nasty Arabs or those nasty Japanese or whoever the parties are that they're trying to blame everything on. And it's a game that very, very few people understand. And it's pure psychological warfare from that point of view. And so it's very disturbing to see writers who don't understand the real reasons behind problems, wars, whatever. And until they learn history, they're not going to go anywhere, and they're not going to be right, and they'll be lucky if they survive selling whatever they're selling.
Well, we're in real trouble. Our job, your job, and mine, since we've been around for a long time, is to try to get people educated out there so they can begin thinking, so they can suddenly see, you know, here we bring the Chinese generals over to the United States, and what do? We show them all of our latest military secrets, and then we transfer the technology so they can build sophisticated planes and missiles, and why would you do something that stupid? They're not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. The people are stupid, the American people, who refuse to acknowledge the fact that there is an invisible government out there that is intent upon undermining and destroying the basic fabric of our society and Western civilization. Well, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Jack, do you have, calling from Michigan, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Dr. Stan, I have actually two. One real quickly, and then the other one, maybe not so quick, but...
What's the question?
If someone invests... Okay, well, if someone invests... Let me ask both questions real quick. If someone invests and goes over stocks, and then at some point in time, the prices have gone up, and there's the big, you know, return on the investment, will the investor be able to be paid, for instance, and silver coinage?
No, you're going to sell the stock. Probably you're going to sell it basically for fiat money, but you could always buy, certainly, gold and silver, at least for the time being. How would you answer, Jack?
Well, I think because the only safe place to be, if you read history, is to be in gold and silver, it's a no-brainer. You don't do anything else but do that. I tell people, don't buy stocks unless they're gold and silver shares. Don't buy bonds or derivatives or options and commodities, you better have a good background or in trading them, or have very, very good help that has your best interests at heart, which is very difficult to find. And so you're really left with that as the only thing. And no matter what governments think, they're not going to be able to do what they want to do with the people, because they're in retrograde right now.
All right, fine. Jack, do you have another question?
Yes. Dan and Bob, did you hear about some fella who took on a bank because he challenged the validity of his presumed valid mortgage debt obligation, and the bank could not prove that they loaned him any money?
Jack, where was this bank?
Yeah, that's what I was asking about. It was about, a month and a half ago. I think it was Missouri, might have been Texas. It was somewhere in the Southwest, if I'm not mistaken.
All right,
but it was in the news. It was on.
All right, so fine. Bob, are you aware of this, that somebody borrowed money from and this?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Okay,
fine. Thanks very much for your call, Jack. But the thing is that the whole monetary system is totally fraudulent. Basically, of course, when you go to the bank and you borrow money, you go in and you got to, say, buy a house, you put down a 10%, and then the bank creates the money that you use to buy the home out of nothing. They don't print the money. It's called credit. And so basically, you put down 10%. Why then, of course, have a loan on your house. And that's the basis of the credit they create. Not only that, but since it was $1 there, if their leverage 40-1, they can lend on 3 more houses. They can simply leverage that original loan up, so they can loan on several homes, which is fine as long as their people are always paying the money on the homes. But what happens if people can't pay the money back? That's where the banks get into trouble. It is a totally fraudulent system, and the average individual has no idea how the banking system works, and they've intentionally made it seem almost impenetrable or very, very difficult, because they don't want people to understand the fraudulent nature of banking. Would that be a fair assessment, Bob?
Right. It's not only the general public. Many professionals don't know how banking works. And if I had to guess, I would say more than half of stockbrokers and commodity brokers, they don't know what we're talking about. If they're listening, they're finding out, but, that's not a part of what they do. They either trade or act as an agent for people. But the ignorance of professionals is every bit as appalling as that of the general public.
Well, our job is to try to get people to understand. Certainly an excellent source of information is Ed Griffin's book, Creature from Jekyll Island. We also have a book written back in 1935 called The Money Creators, goes into the background of what's going on. Certainly, Congressman Lewis McFadden gave a number of speeches. He was the congressman in charge of the Banking Committee, the House of Representatives, because he thought it was a Jewish conspiracy, and that was the defect in his arguments. Other than that, why, of course, the things that he said were absolutely right on. He recognized the fraudulent nature of banking, and because there were a number of unsuccessful attempts on his life, and it is assumed that, of course, the third or fourth time they finally got him. Because, of course, the last thing they want is for the public to understand. But basically, this has happened over and over again, whether it be President McKinley or Garfield or certainly of Jack Kennedy or certainly anybody within the hierarchy of government who has challenged the banking industry, has had attempts on their life. Certainly they tried to kill Andrew Jackson. They did kill Abraham Lincoln. And they were all people who spoke out against the banking system and its excesses. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Bob, the question then comes up, what's going to happen next? Do you think the next thing is going to be a major default over in Europe? Why do you think the price of gold and silver is running as rapidly as it has this last 2 weeks?
Well, I think it's because people are realizing that Greece is already bankrupt, and they're going to be followed by five more nations who are in equally dreadful shape. And it's a kind of thing that doesn't render anything positive. The people who wrote the credit default swaps for these currencies and countries, I don't know what they were thinking of. But the policies that are in place, the things that are going on, will continue to go on as long as we, the public, allow them to.
I certainly agree with you. The difficulty is that people have to understand that we're living in very and very uncertain times. And basically, Chris, if you look at the United States, we're almost as in bad shape as Greece is. In fact, if you really look at our real debt, which is not $14 trillion, but if you use the general accepted accounting principles, the so-called GAAP, G-A-A-P, principles of accounting, why our real, of course, debt is somewhere between $50 and $75 trillion. And they simply, we're even worse shape than Greece is. The only reason we're not having these many problems is we can simply print money. And today, 40 cents out of every dollar that the federal government spends is borrowed money, and certainly most of it we're borrowing from ourselves. The Federal Reserve System is actually buying 70% of our debt. That is the most amazing thing. People don't understand. We're buying our own debt to get out of debt. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I certainly don't think it makes any sense either.
Well, I think it's...
And the figure is higher than that. The figure is closer to 80%.
Okay. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, we have a caller, and his name is Tom. And he's from, I guess that's probably in Montana. Hi, Tom. How are we doing? Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Dan. I'd like Bob to address the issue of returning to a gold standard with a possible elimination of any fiat money and what that would do to the economy, the contraction of the money supply.
All right, so they basically went to a gold standard, why would contract the money supply? Wouldn't there be a terrible depression and terrible suffering if we were to do that?
Yes, but it's going to happen anyway.
They
don't have any choice because people don't have any faith in currencies anymore. I mean, look what's going on.
And I think
every day, gold and silver, in terms of other currencies, are gaining. For the last 11 years, 9 major currencies have fallen an average of, and this is of an average of that group, have fallen over 20% a year. I mean, that's incredible. It's worse now.
And, Tom, yeah. No matter what's going to happen, there's going to be terrible problems. The only question is, will we have a temporary recession and certainly then come back again, or will we have a permanent recession and should the country be totally destroyed? Which two would you rather do?
Yeah, like a hyperinflationary depression, for example. Yep, I think you got it right on. I think we should prepare now, just buy gold and silver and see what happens.
And, of course, make sure you have a personal relationship with our Lord, because behind all of this are powerful forces of organized evil. And until we understand this is what energizes the wicked people who are there to destroy our nation, nothing of this makes sense. Hey, God bless. Thanks so much, Tom. Parting thought, Bob. You got about 50 seconds.
Well, I think those of you who are in gold and silver-related assets should at this time be adding to them because we're going higher. And those who are not in. The train is not out of the station yet, so you still got a shot at getting involved. And you're going to find it's the only place that's safe. The only place that you can put the extra money that you have, or investment money, to work. And it's really as simple as that. And history shows us that that's the way it will turn out in the end.
I'm sure you're right, Bob. We'll look forward to talking to you again next weekend. I hope this isn't as exciting as the last week. Anyway, God bless, and talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye, and thank you all for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope you will enjoy our programs on Monday with Bob Chapman. And the reason, of course, we do this is because we want to impress upon you that we're entering a period of financial chaos and crisis. They are going to destroy the value of our currency. They're in the process of doing it today. They are inflating away the debt, and you can inflate away the debt. You simply destroy the value of the currency. You impoverish the people, but then you can pay the people their Social Security. You can pay them the Medicare, but of course it won't purchase much of anything. The whole medical system is going to collapse, and then of course they're going to have the death panels, and they're going to do everything they can to exterminate large numbers of people. They're going to get us involved in a war, and that'll be a great distraction, so the people will not understand, and then we can blame everything on Osama bin Laden. He's responsible for everything that's going on, without understanding that Osama bin Laden had always worked for the intelligence agencies, just exactly as the Pakistani ISI created both the Taliban and, of course, the Al-Qaeda at the behest of a man named Zygmunt Brzezinski. And you can actually read his writings where he openly admits that he was responsible for creating this Mujahideen, which became the Al-Qaeda in the early 1990s. We go to the search engine and the Internet to find it. We've created the best enemies money could buy, just as the British have created the Irish Republican Army that goes over and kills people in England. But it's all headed and financed by the British intelligence. You have to have an enemy. That's what, of course, Machiavelli said in The Prince. That's what George Orwell said in 1984. That is, of course, what the American Joint Chiefs of Staff advocated in Operation Northwood, which you, of course, get on the Internet. Operation Northwood, or certainly in our syllabus, The Origin of Revolutions and Wars. You need to see my talk on Iraq, the Untold Story, and you need to get that syllabus, The Origin of Revolutionaries and Wars. You need to get my talk on The Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on The Forbidden Secret, my talk on The Dark Secret, and the syllabuses that go with that. We hope that many of you out there will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America, 5 hours a day, and then on a weekend program with over 60 outlets every week, where we have an opportunity to reach an awful lot of people. But quite frankly, we need your help. So if you're in a position to help, please, of course, give us a call. And if you're not in a position to help, then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, because we are truly involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. Well, of course, certainly some of the other interesting items we have, certainly Dr. Cuddy's excellent four CD sets. There are two of them, part one, part two, on the Illuminati. Barry Shamish, certainly his four CD set on this return of the giants. Of course, it gets into the supernatural phenomena that took place in Israel between 1988 and the year 1999. We do hope, of course, you'll want to get our four tape set on Skull and Bones. And, of course, there's actually two books we have that go with that. We have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, an excellent DVD on the Bohemian Grove. And if you want their own writings about how, of course, they worship their deity as the owl, this is their statement, and they talk about their deity. And, of course, they worship the owl. Who is the owl? The owl, of course, is the symbol of Moloch. We have their writings, and we'll be glad to send them if you just simply request a copy of that. You need to understand, of course, we are aligned against organized evil. And when you understand that, so much of what's going on begins to make sense today. We have, of course, that wonderful DVD with Joanna Michelson, The Beautiful Side of Evil. We have a great DVD with Constance Cumby on the emergence, the coming of the new world leader, for a CD set with Constance on the Aquarian conspiracy, the New Age movement. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. And well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish. Of course, he's an investigative reporter from Israel, spent 30 years over in Israel investigating the corruption of the Israeli government. And then, of course, because he was getting so close to the devil's heartbeat, exposing key people in the Israeli government who were involved in murder and mayhem, why there were threats on his life, and he came to the United States. And as a result, of course, we have the benefit of his knowledge and his commentary almost on a weekly basis here at Radio Liberty. So without further ado, hi, Barry. How are we doing tonight? Hi, Barry. How are we doing tonight?
Fine, thanks.
What are we going to be talking about tonight?
Oh, I've got something of interest. We're going to start with something of interest.
Well, I sure hope so. Go ahead.
Well, excuse me. Well, you have to look around for these things. And, you know, there are people who just don't. All right, leave it at that. But Israel's got, it's not exactly a, well, it is a kind of a scandal. Look, we're going to talk about a place I actually knew about again. It was the Israel Institute for Biological Research. Now, again, because I was a trade journalist, I got in there, more than got in there. Now, what they developed, I tried all night to remember what it was that they developed, something like human growth hormone, something in the early days of modern medicine, not exactly. In the 80s, they switched to all kinds of hormones and processes, and they developed them. And I went and did a story about some sort of, I think it was human growth hormone, but it doesn't matter. We had a relationship. I ended up making contact through my article with, again, someone I forget. I think he was from Woods Hole in Massachusetts. I met him and the scientists in New York from the Israel
Institute for Biological Research. We met, this I remember, at the Yacht Club. We had lunch at the Yacht Club, very fancy. So I got in there. Now, I'm taking this article from an Arab source, but I'm also using a couple of Israeli sources who've looked into this. Now, it's really, it's very closed. It's in Rehovot, and, well, it's, you know, highly surveilled, high walls. You're not allowed in because the Israeli Institute for Biological Research has been behind some nasty stuff, and not to Arabs, even though, well, they've been victimized as well, but Jews. There have been biological experiments. Whoops, I hear the music. Don't I hear the music?
Yes, you do. There's been biological experiments on the Jewish population.
Well, if we've got time, I'll go into that.
We'll get to this in just a moment. Of course, our guest is Barry Shamish. He's talking about this institute over in Israel that he's actually had written about some years ago. But as with so many of these organizations, you know, they say they're all into research, but sometimes, of course, they have to do experiments, and sometimes these experiments can be very questionable as far as the moral fabric of them. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Barry Shamish, go right ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to understand my attitude. I believe that the Jewish people have been infiltrated, but I think the engine would be running fine and dandy if we just fixed it by throwing them out of our lives. You know, it's a very straightforward attitude, and I believe in it. I wasn't ashamed of working for the Israeli Institute for Biological Research, but today it's a little different. We'll go into that a little bit later, but they did experiments on Sephardi children and Yemenite children, all kinds of terrible stuff in the 50s. It's a top secret military installation. It's where all the research on biological and chemical weapons is done in Israel. They're the ones that, they offensive and defense. They've got offensive biological and chemical weapons, and they got antidotes for the Arabs' biological or chemical weapons. And in fact, they have a very special role to play, but they have let the role get away with them, and we'll talk about that shortly. But nonetheless, it's really nothing is ever written about this in the Israeli press. Any news comes out of the foreign press and leaks back to Israel. I was phoned by an Israeli TV station today, and they want me on air to talk about what I knew about the Mossad. I sent them a brief synopsis, including the murder of John Kennedy Jr., which had a ton of Mossad behind it because he revealed the Rabin assassination and was back on the case. So there was, well, they said, we're not putting that here. I mean, they just told me outright that that is not what they were looking for. Even though I'll stand by it, they didn't want anything to do with it. It's the same thing with this Israel Institute for Biological Research. You don't touch it. And that's, well, it's not exactly a free press in Israel. Leave it at that.
Well, I think we have the same problem over here. We have the same identical forces working in the United States, effectively shutting down discussion of really important issues. We'll be right back in just a moment with Barry. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney Berry is talking about the fact that over in Israel, why, of course, they will not discuss this at the Israeli Institute on Biological Research, and they certainly will not discuss certainly the relationship between the Mossad and the Kennedy assassination. And of course, Berry's investigated all of this. Berry Sidney is an investigative journalist.
Not the Kennedy assassination.
Was not the whose assassination was it?
John Kennedy Jr.
Oh, John Kennedy Jr. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
John Kennedy wasn't exposing how Yitzhak Rabin was murdered from an inside source.
Okay, you're talking then, of course, the magazine that Kennedy Jr. was actually
George.
Publishing. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it was a side issue to begin with.
Okay.
The point being that I was censored just this morning. There are things that don't get out.
Right.
Look, a lot is just military censorship, which at least the legitimate Israeli press has to hand everything to a censor. But look, the so-called anti-Israel writers, they just talk about, they make up stories of repression against Arabs. They don't begin to touch this. Now, again, I'm using an Arab source for this information. Otherwise, it wouldn't have gotten out. Not everything. A lot has gotten out. Now, here is what happened. An employee of the Biological Research Institute, her name is Avisha Klein, she sued them for harassment and emotional abuse recently, in the last couple of weeks. Now, a lot got out in the trial. More than Israel has ever seen or heard about this research institute, a lot of it came out. Now, look, she was a long-time employee of the institute, and the institute has, 300 scientists and researchers. It's a pretty big institute, and people get fired all the time for different reasons. She was a long-term employee. What we learned from her trial, a public court, remember, she's suing the institute for harassment and emotional abuse. She's in a public courtroom, and stuff came out that never came out before. Well, it turns out that one of her duties over time was to develop an ointment to protect the skin from mustard gas. And, well, there's, all of these scientists and technicians specialize in different areas. But one of the areas that apparently came out of this trial, unless this article is just guessing, is a Mossad assassination unit. It's called the Kidon. Now, not everyone knows the background, but there are some notorious successes or failures using poison. That's a straight ordinary poison. Now, there was a big one, 97. This is when Netanyahu gave the... He was prime minister then. Gave the order to eliminate this Hamas Politburo chief. His name is Khaled Mishal, and he's still around, bigger than ever. And the Mossad went to Jordan, and they stuck a needle in his arm, and he was dying, but they were caught. So Jordan had these Mossad team in their hands, and Mishal was dying, and Netanyahu cut a deal that released the Mossad team and will save Mishal. And the antidote was shipped over to Jordan, and he was saved. This is a very, very well-known, failure, in that they didn't kill him in the end. They almost got caught and was exposed everywhere. I remember writing about somebody squealed that it wasn't just a failure, that somebody... passed word to the Jordanians. But again, separate issue. The issue was that the poison came from the research institute. That's, there's a list in front of me, Prime Minister Menachem Begin, way in 77, he was his first year as leader, he ordered a hit on the, he was a leader of the PFLP, that's the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. His name was Wadi Haddad. Now, apparently he was bad news. He was responsible for several terrorist attacks, including the hijacking of a passenger plane to Entebbe in the year before. And, well, this one worked. It came out, and by our friend Aaron Klein, he wrote a book where he told the story of how this poison killed the Haddad. Oh, he liked Belgian chocolates, and there was a Mossad agent in Iraq that deliberately befriended him and gave him the chocolates. He was a Mossad agent, needless to say. And Haddad, it was a slow-acting, undetectable, brilliant poison developed by this research institute, and Haddad deteriorated slowly, and he was eventually flown to East Germany, and he was diagnosed with leukemia, and he died in 78, about 2 years after the poison, no, a year after the poison was given to him. In short, this institute, now remember, I'm taking from an Arab source, so they're only talking about Arab victims, you know, like, the recent, I wouldn't call it necessarily a fiasco, but they were caught again in Dubai when they killed the Hamas leader, that was Mahmoud al-Mahbou in Dubai. It was exposed for the whole world to see. But again, it was the poison, and it came from the Institute, and this is what the Institute does. Now, just so you know, the Institute got a ton of money from the states recently. They're still getting it. It's hundreds of millions of bucks. The research was an Israeli cure for anthrax. Now, where this started was that after 9/11, anthrax just started showing up every which way in the States. Killed about eight people, but it, you know, pretty well shut down the post office. They were coming in packages through the post office. It was just more terror being spread. Now, the United States gives this institute hundreds of million bucks just to find an antidote to anthrax. But the real problem was that those packages being sent to the States were eventually traced by legitimate lawmakers. They were from Arizona. These were American anthrax spores. It wasn't the Arabs once again. They got caught. And Israel is getting, a lot of money for an antidote to an American-born and bred anthrax problem. This was not terrorism. This was the spread of terror within the American government. Whole different animal. But, well, what can you say? That the Research Institute has been at work at this I don't think there is a cure for anthrax, so I guess it's still at work at this.
Well, basically, of course, you remember, of course, with the 911 anthrax attack. Why, on the very evening of September 11th, Dick Cheney and all the members of the White House staff started on Cipro, which is a medicine specific for anthrax. You don't take this ordinarily because it weakens your tendons, and you can actually snap your Achilles tendon if you're on Cipro. And so, but isn't it interesting that they knew that attack was coming? Dick Cheney and the White House staff and President Bush all started on Cipro in the evening of September 11th, but they didn't tell anybody else that the anthrax attack was coming. I wonder how they could have known that. And then, of course, the only people who received the anthrax laden letters, at least the only legislators, just all happened to be Democrats. And Sidney, I'm sure that was just coincidence. But go right ahead.
You got me there. It's out of my... knowledge.
That is actually quite accurate. And Dick Cheney and the White House staff started on Cipro that evening, so they knew the attack was coming. How could they possibly have known that attack was coming? Certainly, on the evening of September 11, 2001, the last thing anybody was thinking about was the possibility of an anthrax attack, unless, of course, your name was Dick Cheney or George W. Bush.
I recall this as well.
Okay, go ahead.
I recall this minor scandal after 9/11. There were so many of them.
Right.
But the point is that Israel's getting paid to find an antidote for anthrax, which was released in the United States by Americans and developed in Arizona. It's a strange business world we live in. I hear music.
Right. Well, of course, basically, of course, we have something here in the United States. Fort Detrick, Maryland does the same thing as this Israeli Institute. I'm sure that there are a number of centers where they're doing all sorts of studies on biological warfare and methods of mass killings. You can take a doxycycline, if you come in contact with anthrax, take it immediately, and of course it'll tend to, it works almost as well as the Cipro. And we'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, Barry Shamish, talking about this institute in Israel. Barry, go right ahead.
Well, not so much the institute, the fact that this civil suit opened the institute. Look, the institute was under a lot of pressure. And I covered this on your show, that dozens of Israeli soldiers were mortally sick, terrible cancers, and it turns out that they were all in a test. And guess what the test was for? An anti-anthrax vaccine. And the results were disastrous for the Israeli soldiers. Young kids who deteriorated sharply, and somebody put two and two together. It shouldn't have been that hard, and they blamed, well, they more than just blamed. They raised lawsuits that have still not gone to court, that their sons were used as human guinea pigs for an anthrax antidote that didn't work, but it made them permanently sick. And this was this year. I spoke about that. Watch out if you're an Israeli soldier. Why didn't, if you're at war, at least use Arab prisoners of war. If you're going to test something out, you don't use terrorists. Use people, use murderers. There's all kinds of people you can test it on. But Israeli soldiers is who they chose. And, I mean, that has raised the moral hackles, not just of the parents. But, again, this is being swept under the carpet and in Israel. And I'd be amazed if those trials, they'll never reach a courtroom. Too devastating. But, as I say, Avishai Klein did make it. And all this stuff started coming out. Now, what worries me, and this is what I started to say. It was started by David Ben-Gurion. He started the Biological Research Institute, and he started in 1948, and he ran it personally. There was a period when Moshe Sharet was prime minister, 53 to 55. He was not allowed to get any information about what that institute was doing. wasn't allowed to. What they were doing in the years of Ben-Gurion were conducting ghastly experiments on Sephardic children. Now, this is, well, it's an hour just to talk about this if I went into it. But it was a, well, what they did is they got x-ray machines from the American Army, and they blasted every Sephardic child, beginning with the Yemenites and going through them all, only Sephardic children. They blasted them with hundreds of times the fatal dose. 6,000 died of gamma rays right through their brains. And this is the big secret in Israel, that this experiment on Sephardic children took place, and it took place through this Biological Research Institute. What? Who
else? Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly very shocking about this program that was carried out some years ago under the auspices of this special biological institute, and it was on Sephardic children, and basically I think there were about 100 of them. This was the so-called ringworm.
100, so there were 115,000.
Yeah, 115,000, and basically these children were used, they said, they as experimental. They radiated their brains, supposedly to treat the ringworm on their scalp. That wasn't it at all. They were burning up their brains to find out how much radiation they could take, because this was simply instigated, my understanding, it was instigated by people in the United States. It's, there, at least there was a joint operation between the Israeli, certain wicked people in the Israeli government and wicked people in the United States. And they destroyed the brains of these children. There were about 6,000 of them died immediately as a result of this. This is a scandal in Israel. You can go up on the internet and look up the ringworm children, ringworms, Sephardic children, and read this and weep. It's one of those stories that just grips at your very heartstrings. But go right ahead.
The mastermind, the head of the Atomic Energy Commission, and the Ministry of Health was Shimon Peres, Israel's president today. To describe what is going on, that the Sephardim don't rise up and say, get this monster out of our hair, we don't want him as president, I don't know the brainwashing that went into it. Maybe, and I'm not kidding about this, the fact that their brains were so weakened, that's not true. They should know better. There's no excuse for this.
This, of course, was what, about 1960, 1950? When would this take place?
Took place, 50 to 64.
Okay, 50 to 64.
Yeah, the main experiment was in the mid-50s.
Okay.
Well,
this is one of those terrible, horrible things that certainly most people have never heard of, and it's because you are not supposed to have heard of it. But the Sephardic children, look up there were actually two experiments done on the Sephardic children. One was the Yemeni children who were kidnapped from their parents and sent to the United States for experiments. The other were the ringworm children. And you certainly would want to get that. Well, we've got Ray. We'll get to Ray as soon as we get back from the break. But you go right ahead, Barry.
Well, look, a scandal has broken in Israel that is exposing, what can you say? I mean, this is not just a secret little institute. This has got a history that is just against Jews. Forget the Arabs. All right, so they assassinated a few terrorists. But you're talking about the entire Sephardic youth were victimized by this place. And for the first time in Israel's history, there is an open court suit. Now, it may be by an employee who is charging harassment and emotional abuse, but stuff is coming out. And I don't ever remember anything like this coming out before. I don't think it's going to get, this little suit is not going to get to the ringworm children. But it's opening up all kinds of issues, like the dozens of Israeli soldiers who were infected with this antidote that didn't work, that are alive today and slowly dying.
Well, now, basically, is this getting into the Israeli press or just simply the Arab press?
Now it's getting into the Israeli press. Well, there's no choice. It's an open court.
Well, I'm just so glad that you're getting this information out, because
people don't care.
Yes, they do care, especially if it's your son or your grandson.
Those people care.
Yeah.
If your son was the one infected, you care a lot.
Right.
But again, if your son was a Sephardi in 1954 and his brain was smashed with hundreds of times the gamma rays that is permitted, you would be mad too. And they were for a while, and they were crushed.
Right. Well, I think one of the hardest things, Barry, for people to realize is that this is simply not an experiment. Oh, let's see how much radiation we give. There really are people who want to hurt children. As difficult as it is, there really are evil people out there, and this is a recurrent theme of our programs. There are evil people in the world until people are willing to accept that fact and recognize that fact. So many of the things that go on today, you say, it had to be a mistake. They had no idea what they were doing. And my reply is, they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to understand they know what they're doing. We'll be back in just a moment here. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and during the break here, let's go to Ray, who's calling from Montana. Ray, do you have a question for Barry?
Yes, Stan. John Rappaport has written an intriguing book called The Ownership of All Life, and it kind of deals with the subject of pharmaceuticals and the Genome Project being a cover for Nazi-era programs to continue to find the master race and all this stuff. I was just wondering what Barry thinks about some of the more clandestine programs that might be going on at this institute in Israel.
Well, again, I don't think right now is not the 50s, and they did their biggest damage a generation ago. What they're doing now mostly is listening to Arab intelligence and getting... they're getting reports from military intelligence called the Amman, what the enemy is planning, and come up with an antidote to this gas or this chemical. That's what they're mostly doing. Now, as for clandestine, well, it's all clandestine. None of this is... They don't send press reports that they... develop a great new mustard gas for the next war.
So basically, of course, but these things are going on all throughout the world, Ray. And I think that, of course, there are certainly experiments being done in all the countries to develop horrible new weapons, which I really fear are going to be unleashed upon the world when the next world war comes about, and we're not that far away from it. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, that's it. Just keep up the great work.
God bless and thanks. That's Ray calling from Montana. But ladies and gentlemen, we are facing very, very difficult and dangerous times. And of course, it is our contention, and certainly our intelligence sources that we have, meager as they are, but at least we have some that I think are fairly reliable. And that is that everything is being done to prepare the American people, specifically the Christians of the United States, for a coming war with the Muslim world. How it's going to play out, I don't know. But everything's being done to turn the American people against the Muslim faith. Now, certainly I don't like the Muslim faith. I think that they've got a lot of crazy ideas, and this radical element within the Muslim faith certainly is very, very dangerous. But then who's funding this whole radical movement? And it's people like Mr. Gulen, who, of course, is getting his funding from the CIA. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Sonny Barry Shamish, and we're not going to be taking any callers. We want to give Barry the chance to develop his ideas. So, Barry, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs, and how they can get to your PayPal button and help finance you so that you can keep bringing us the fascinating information.
Sure. My books are available at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. And the book you'll want, if you're interested in this experiment on Sephardic children, the book would be Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism, and the Holocaust. How do you get there? You'll see a search box at Lulu. You write in my name, Chamish. There's a dozen books there. That's the one that deals with this subject with a lot more details than you got tonight. My website is barrychamish.com, spelled the same way, chamish.com. At the bottom of the main page, you'll see a little PayPal donation button. And believe me, if you donate, I'm grateful. I'll gladly send you a really nice box of DVDs. You'll like them a lot. And if you want me to speak or you want the DVDs, my number is 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. Those are not on Lulu. All right, that's enough of the plug. Now, look, the next item that happened this week isn't the most important by any stretch of the imagination, but it's close to my heart. There was a major fire broke up in Jerusalem, two, 3 days ago. Now, look, this was just below the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum. And if that burnt down, the loss to the Jewish people, that's the headquarters, the World Holocaust Memorial. And, well, it was, three of its workers were hospitalized for smoke inhalation, stuff like that. But they luckily got it under control before it climbed up the hill and attacked a very sacred site to world Jewry. Very sacred. If that thing burnt down, and the records burnt down, horrible. Now, I read about this and imagined what was going on. Now, first of all, as usual, and I'm going to talk about why it's as usual, the firemen reported that the fire began initially in four separate spots. That's the way Arabs start fires. It works much better than just lighting one up. You make the fire consume itself. It's pretty good job of arson. Somebody gave the instructions on how to make a fire real big. Now, it was real big. I read the description, and this, well, these were places I knew well, and in one place I actually lived in, that's the Catamon neighborhood, but the people in Catamon, Beit HaKerem, Har Nof neighborhoods, they were all asked to stay inside with the windows closed or just get out. Just get out of the neighborhoods until this fire is under control. And then at around 4:30, they had to dump fire retardant on the flames to get it under control. The flames were in the city. In the city! They were in the... Yad Vashem is on top of a mountain called Mount Herzl. The fire was started at the foot of Mount Herzl, and it affected Jewish neighborhoods, three of them so far, but nobody was allowed to use the roads because of the fire retardant, which is hazardous to feet and tires and then everything else. After something like 4:30 p.m., the roads to people's homes were blocked until the morning. I can only guess they stayed in the hotels, I can only guess the hardships that caused. But why this story bothers me so much is I covered the same thing, well, twice before, twice before the Jerusalem Forest Fire of 1997, where all the beautiful greenery from the bottom, the Tel Aviv Jerusalem Road, imagine that. Before you start climbing, that's where the fire spread. From there all the way to the city of Jerusalem, it engulfed that beautiful forest. And I don't know if other people noticed, but the firemen reported that the fire began in four separate spots. And this was on the news for, 3 hours. And then I never heard from it ever again. The peacemakers, the Israelis were in such shock from a beautiful green landscape to a brown desiccated landscape in one day. That's how big this fire was. And it hasn't recovered. The forest since 97, that's not enough time for a forest to grow back. It's all gone. But the peacemakers wouldn't let the news that it started in four spots, it was arson. And the same thing happened not a few months ago in the Galilee, where, again, a fire that the initial reports where the fire inspectors claimed it began in four separate spots in the Galilee. Now, this was arson once again covered up. Well, half of Israel's forests have already been burnt down since peace was signed in 94 was when it was actually signed. Israel's forests are half gone. And what's left is not very pretty. But this one, a few months ago, 43 young firefighters died when their bus was engulfed in the middle of the flames. And the chief of police for the Haifa region, she died when her car was engulfed in flames. 43 dead from Arab arson. It was a tremendous act of terrorism. And for some reason, no one's listening. No one is infuriated that the Arabs are burning down Israel. They almost burnt down Yad Vashem. They came close.
Well, you see, Barry, when you control the media, well, you can control what people think and what they believe. And this is the tragedy that they have in Israel, the tragedy they have here in the United States. The media is controlled, and the enemies of freedom control the media and largely determine, they mold our minds, they form our tastes, and they create our concepts, and they're experts at it.
Well, a connected story then came out everything is this week. If I'm on the show, I spend 2 days before looking. Now, this is an important story. Again, look, you've never heard of the American Israel Demographic Research Group, and, well, you've heard of the CIA, but we'll get on with this. They've done a complete survey of demography, Arab Jewish demography in Israel. Now, what they studied, this is something I took many, many years ago when I took demography, the total fertility rate. We used to write TFR. What it means is how many kids you're having and how many are surviving. If you have a lot of kids and a lot of kids are surviving, you have a very high TFR. If you have two kids and when you go, both survived, you're at even TFR there. That explains, here is what they found, is that the Arab TFR has plummeted and the Jewish has gone up a bit. Now, 20 years ago, the average Arab, in 65 is the figure actually here, given here, the average Arab woman gave birth to 8.42 children on average. Today, in Israel, it's even better in the West Bank. In Israel, it's 3.5. In short, the gap between the Jewish and the Arab TFR, that's total fertility rate, has dropped from 1.05 to 0.06. In other words, they're now even. The populations won't overtake each other. And if they do, by the way, it'll be in favor of the Jews, whose ultra-Orthodox element is having a lot of babies. But what it comes down to, the West Bank is even more advanced than Israeli Arabs. They're at 3.12. What they're saying is by the year 2030, all the trends have the, it's a reversal of what people think, that the Arabs are going to outbreed the Jews. You'll have a higher Jewish TFR, 20-30 is a ways off, but they're even Stephen right now, essentially even Stephen. Now, this should be known by everyone because you're still hearing the same concept. Not by schmoes. I mean, C.P. Livni got the most votes in the last prime minister's election. Luckily, her party didn't have enough. But nonetheless, she's running on the same thing, that unless there's a two-state solution, nothing will ensure a Jewish majority and therefore a Jewish democratic state. It's all baloney. The figures, it's a world of difference. The Arabs are actually at the point now where their women are not giving birth to 8.45 children anymore. The world has changed, and that concept is it's not just, the CFR. It's the CIA who did the report on the West Bank Arabs, that they're actually more urbanized than Israeli Arabs and have a slightly lower TFR. This is well-known stuff. But you ask almost any Israeli, and they'll tell you the Arabs are breeding like pigs and they're going to swallow us unless we give them a separate state. They still believe that propaganda, and it's just not publicized that propaganda is a bunch of hooey.
Well, I suspect, Barry, and I have no way to back this up, but if you look at the demographics throughout the world and fertility rates throughout the world, they are falling and falling dramatically. And I suspect that something has been done to influence the Arab fertility rates.
The women have more opportunities. They don't want to just be mothers for 8-10 children. They get educated. There are explanations of why total fertility rates drop.
There may very well be. There are other things that you can do to alter fertility rates, but we can't get into that because I personally have no idea what they've done to the Arabs. I do know what they've done throughout so much of the rest of the world and here in the United States to alter fertility. I don't know why there should be the difference, though, in Israel, so dramatic between the Israelis.
Because the Arabs
and
live pretty well in Israel.
Right, so go right ahead.
Because they're entering the middle class.
Right.
They used to be dirt poor farmers on donkeys. The Arabs that I knew, after I arrived just after Israel recapture this territory, they really were riding on donkeys, quite ragged. It's not the same thing anymore. Their world has become middle class. Unfortunately, that middle class is all mixed up with Sharia laws in a lot of places. Let's just say there are reasons that are not conspiratorial about the fertility rate dropping. But neither here nor there. The point being made is they're not going to swamp the Jews. Those days are done.
All right. That's a very interesting point. Go ahead.
All right. Now, what is also being done, and this, now I'm going to talk about a couple of stories that are getting lots of people ticked off. The lots of people, mostly being religious or settlers, for some reason, Dov Lior, he is the chief rabbi of Hebron. He was arrested last Monday. They've been chasing him for a while. They've been chasing him and another rabbi, and his name is Yaakov Yosef. And look, he's the son of the head of the Shas, the luminary of the Shas party. That's Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. Now, what were their crimes? They didn't. By the way, they were ordered to show up at police stations. Both ignored it. The crime was, there was a book written by Rabbi Yitzchak Shapira. It was called the Torah HaMelech, Law of the Kings. And it discusses the what the Torah says about waging war and the taking of non-Jewish lives in battle. And, you know, this is not a shocking thing. It's allowed to be discussed. Now, what these rabbis did is they didn't write glowing reviews. What rabbis do is they tell their students and their circles that the book has got my, in Hebrew, gushpanka, my attribute. You can read it. It's that simple. You can read it. It's not a greatest book in the last 10 years. That's not what happened. They just accredited it. And for that, the police wanted to speak to both of them. And, well, we'll continue after the music.
All right, fine. And what was the title of the book that had been accredited?
Torah HaMelech, Law of the Kings.
Law of the Kings, okay. And what does that really deal with?
It dealt with discussing war according to the Torah.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment here with Barry Samish, too, and we'll be wrapping up the program. All right, Barry, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
All right. So, again, the point I was trying to make is that, boy, you cannot be religious and believe in a one-state solution without the state coming down on you. Right now, the Israeli police are looking for whoever put on YouTube a video clip of Israeli soldiers evacuating the Gaza Strip and a place called Ramona, which was evacuated at the same time in northern Samaria, and they're interspersing Israeli soldiers with Nazis. Now, I want you to know that, to me, short of killing them, which is what a Nazi would do, but, well, forced evacuation of Jews, to me, you can use the Nazi image. And, in fact, on the Gaza evacuation day, I was in the north of the country with my son, Ari, and we were in a restaurant, and I watched the soldiers carrying away the Jews, and I just said, Nazi. Every 2 seconds came out of my mouth was Nazi. they're going to arrest these Israelis who put it on YouTube. Here's the reason. This is a challenge. Here's the reason from the commissioner of police. This is a challenge to the legitimacy and activity of Israeli police officers. And he, well, we are going to apply the full weight of law on those responsible for the video. It, in my, to my way of thinking, whoever evacuated the Jews deserves that kind of criticism. There was nothing illegitimate about the image, as harsh as it was. It wasn't all that far off the mark.
Unfortunately, they don't have real freedom of speech there in Israel. But then, of course, we're losing freedom of speech here in America. And I sympathize with what you're saying. I think that the forceful evacuation of the people from Gaza, it was terrible. And I think they're going to try to do the same thing with the settlers in Judea and Samaria.
Coming up.
And suddenly, it's people have to understand there are other forces here, the police and military. If they want to keep their jobs, they go along with it. But I believe this is an organized force of evil that wants, of course, to destroy the Israeli or the Jewish presence in Palestine. Hey, we're out of time, Barry. Good night. God bless. Talk to you next week.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Barry is simply talking about this program in Israel not to allow anybody to be critical of the policies of the government, which are violently anti-Israel. And, of course, certainly the forced evacuation of the settlers from Gaza, the planned forced evacuation of the settlers from Judea and Samaria, certainly in the West Bank, are being planned by the leaders of Israel, whose loyalty is not to Israel. It's to this two-state solution, and behind that are the powerful spiritual forces that would destroy Israel today. They're working in Israel. We have similar forces working in America who would destroy America. And until you understand the Brotherhood of Darkness, nothing makes sense. So you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the forbidden secret and the dark secret, and they're available by, and the syllabuses go to those two talks. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now,